This is Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. She's a columnist, commentator, and sought-after guest on talk radio programs around the country. She has a master's degree from Columbia University and an operatic voice that can shatter glass. Here's your host of Spouting Off, Karen Cataline.
Well, it's good to be home at Spouting Off. Karen Cataline back in the saddle here in Spouting Off, and it's great to have you with us. This is show, just in case anybody's counting, this is show 113 of Spouting Off. And I want to thank Chuck and Julie, Chuck Bonnewell and Julie Hayden for filling in for me last week. I had such a good time. So much to tell you. That's why I'm going to be shouting at you, no, spouting off at you for about the first couple of segments. You are welcome to call in. If you're listening live, you can listen. You can call in at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Would love to hear from you. I loved going to South Dakota. It was so much fun. So we celebrated our first wedding anniversary. And you may know, if you were listening last year, we got married on our seventh anniversary of being together. So we called it our seven-year itch wedding. And we were going to go to Israel, and that sort of fell through because, well, you know, the country is under attack. We'll get to that for sure. So we ended up going to South Dakota, where people love their governor. People are, it feels normal. And I also had something that I shared on Chuck and Julie's show. And by the way, if you have not listened to Chuck and Julie, you want to tune in Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. Mountain, 5 p.m. Eastern. They're not only friends, but they're just fun to listen to. So it'll be on today on BBS Radio. Station 1 at 3 p.m. And what I shared with them, because I like to listen to them as well as sometimes be on their show, is that socialism, which is what is the, well, let's put it this way, because there's so many things I could say. This country is under attack by people who have avowed that they were socialists, and a lot of people who are hidden socialists. If you talk to Trevor Loudon, who I did speak to yesterday on another talk radio program, socialism by its very nature is designed to make everything kind of gray, not color. There's no color in socialism because everybody is lowered to the lowest common denominator. Everybody is treated as a number. You're not an individual. The individual freedom, security, self-sufficiency, independence, liberty are all frowned upon and even punished. Well, I noticed in South Dakota that the same thing was true of little businesses. Every little business in downtown old South Dakota, old Deadwood, South Dakota, I might add, has a personality of its own. The business is as unique as the people who created that business, from little souvenir shops to wine stores where you could buy rhubarb wine. I mean, the place just had such character. And small businesses like that are under attack. It's not an accident, in my opinion, that Walmarts and big giant box stores that are doing the bidding of the government are open and free to operate, have been cleaning up because all of their competition has been shut down. This is not America. That's not American, and it's not a free market, even remotely. And if you are not suspicious about the pick and choose kind of dictatorial attitudes of Democrat governors, Democrat mayors and Democrat politicians, you're probably not watching. But if you're listening to Spouting Off here, then you probably are watching and you're just getting about as livid as I am. So something, if you just imagine your favorite TV show turning black and white instead of in beautiful shades of color. Imagine watching football that's in high definition color and suddenly it's gray and black and white. And not that there's anything wrong with those colors, you politically correct folks, but it's dull and it's dulled out. And of course, that's only the beginning to socialism, communism. Trevor Loudon, who I will always credit with when he said, well, what's, when I asked him, what's the difference between socialism and communism? And he said, oh, about 5 years. And we're on that trajectory right now. And there's a lot of people fighting it, but there's a lot of people giving into it as well. And that's what concerns me. That's what worries me. So, among other atrocities, and I use that word advisedly, it is, because these are affronts to our freedom, is in one state, I was listening to Tucker Carlson the other day, 12-step groups where people try to get off the alcohol and get and kick the drug habit, whether it's alcohol or anything else they're addicted to, are shut down, are not allowed to meet. But, you know, liquor stores, you can go in there anytime you want. It's fine, perfect. So all the 12-step people are out drinking more because they can't go to their 12-step meetings. If you think this is an accident, I'd say you'd be wrong, because I don't think it's any accident. This is the same people that have been pushing, quote, safe injection sites. You know, there's really nothing new under the sun. You've heard me rant before about socialists who want to keep us all drugged up. You know, pot isn't really a freedom issue like I initially thought it was. It's an issue to have us all staring at our thumbs while they rob us blind in our government and make everybody unsafe. More unsafe with people on the roads and so forth. So anybody who buys into this leftist propaganda that we're being fed on a regular basis simply isn't paying attention to the enormous lack of compassion of these people who claim to be our betters because they don't want us to get sick from a virus that has a 0.006, last I checked, nationwide fatality rate, way lower probably than the seasonal flu. And yet, we have Democrat governors and others. It's becoming very clear. In fact, it's becoming black and white. Who wants to open up the country to freedom and life? And who wants to shut down the country and kill the country, kill the free market, kill America as quickly as they can? Some people are useful idiots. A whole lot of other people are shouting with glee. That's another thing our friend Trevor Loudon, who I'll have to have on the show soon, here on Spouting Off, said yesterday when I interviewed him. And that was that people in Washington, leftists, every time the economy goes down further, every time there are indicators that the stock market is crashing, the economy is crashing, there's going to be a, God forbid, a breakdown in the food chain and all the rest of it, Democrats are clapping with glee because they think this is going to bring down Donald Trump. Number one, I think that's incredibly short-sighted. And it's short-sighted on our side not to think that Democrats won't lie, cheat, and steal to make sure to try their best to get rid of Donald Trump when they can't get rid of him honestly. They can't impose socialism either by talking honestly about what they want to do. And very frankly, and I'm watching closely, it's not just socialism for America. America has been what has stood in the way of global socialist takeovers all across the Western Hemisphere. George Soros has said many times that it is America and to a lesser extent its ally Israel that stands in the way of his megalomaniacal dream of a utopian, not so utopian, it's a nightmare, socialist communist. But you know, those guys, they never want the best for anyone. What they want is their own power. Don't ever forget that. And I know you don't. I'm pretty sure you don't. I do get people who write me on Facebook and Twitter, which you can do too. All you got to do is know how to spell my name, and you probably did because you're listening to me now. Karen Cataline, that's Karen spelled the normal way. Cataline spelled K-A-T-A-L-I-N-E, Cataline. You can find me on Facebook and Twitter. And I do get, it's so funny. I actually found a whole bunch of hate mail that I hadn't found before. And I like responding to hate mail. They tell me I'm not supposed to, you know, but occasionally if I have something to say, I'll respond. And not always. It depends on the situation. But in this case, there was just a whole bunch of, not tons, but enough hate mail that they thought I just didn't respond. It was probably better that I didn't. Anyway, let's see. Which thing? There's so much to talk about, and I got to take a break very shortly. But I want to mention a couple things that have been going on, as well as South Dakota. That was a pleasure. And, you know, I suggest spend your money in places that love freedom. I'm not going to go anywhere, or I don't want to spend money in places that want to clamp down on freedom and liberty. I'm going to spend it in places that stand up for it. And if you and everyone else does the same thing, and there's a lot of protests in the offing, I wish they would have already happened, but they're in the works, I'm told. Then support those people. Support the people that have the courage to open up. I think people are finding out that government permission to open a restaurant by having a license to operate, by having a license from the health department and a liquor license, all those licenses are now coming to bite people because that's what people are afraid of. If I don't do what the government tells me to do, even if it is the dumbest thing I've ever heard, it is not going to help me get out of bankruptcy and it's going to break my business. I still have to do it because they'll take away my right to run a business. They'll shutter my doors and I'll go bankrupt anyway. That's what is happening in this great, formerly great country if we do not get it back. I also was sent this picture that I want to share with you before we take a break. And I looked at it and I was stunned. I was stunned. There's a picture of an actual elevator in downtown Pittsburgh. You're supposed to face the wall. There are these little footprints in the corners where you have to face the wall, just like being a five-year-old in a dunce cap. That's how we're being treated by as like five-year-olds. We got to take a break. Karen Cataline back in the saddle here on Spouting Off. We'll be back right after this. Stay tuned.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous. It's confidential. And you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/AskAuntEmma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/AskAuntEmma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
You You know, I love doing talk radio so much. I was just talking to our esteemed producer, Doug. And I love doing talk radio so much, I'm pretty sure they're going to make it illegal soon. So I better do as much of it as I possibly can, right? Right, producer Doug? I want to tell you a quick story about my trip to the King Soopers, which is also known as Kroger, to those of you who are around the country. Kroger's and King Soopers, huge grocery chain. And I first want to give them the good news, the kudos, which is there are cities in the state of Colorado, and you all know that I'm in Colorado, but I talk about stuff that I think and I'm sure is relevant all across country, as well as tons of national stuff that we cover. And at King Soopers, there are counties in which there are idiotic, stupid laws that you must wear a mask, and now they're starting to arrest people for not wearing them, even though there is no proof whatsoever that they help one iota, and in some cases it can be damaging and bad for you, especially if you have asthma like I do, and I don't want to be breathing my own carbon dioxide. But even further, I don't want to submit to something the state tells me I have to do when it's unconstitutional, and they have no damn right to do that. There is all kinds of propaganda about not only these masks, and I've ranted before about that, but the danger and the deadliness of singling people out, not just for wearing them and being obedient, but for not wearing them. Nevertheless, the King Soopers, in the county that I live in, there is no mask requirement by the state government. So there's a big sign in the front that says, please wear a mask. Well, they can ask me please and nicely all they want, and I have the right to say no. That's called liberty, right? You could ask me to jump off a bridge, but if I have a right to say no, and you're not going to fine me, jail me, and all the rest of it using the power of government, then I can just say thank you, no, or I can say hell no. So that's good, because even in the city of Denver, I was kicked out of a grocery store, and I was told that if I refused to wear a mask, I would not be served. I would not be checked out at the cash register, because that's the city law. I called King Soopers, and they said, well, it is a law, but we're not going to kick you out, and we will check you out. Now, if the government finds out about that, and now I'm doing talk radio, and they may try to punish King Soopers, although I doubt it, because they're doing business with big companies, not little companies. It's the little companies that can't afford to fight back are the ones that they are stomping on with a jackboot. So the willingness not to comply is much more important than my breathing my own carbon dioxide, which is also important to me because I get to make those choices. I am an adult. We're not being treated as such. Anyway, the King Soopers, I was like one of three people in a huge store that was not wearing a mask. Nobody bothered us. However, there's piped in music going through the speaker constantly telling us, stay home, stay safe. Save a life, stay home, stay safe. So I took an hour this morning trying to get in touch with the leadership, the executive offices of King Soopers, which is not easy, let me tell you. But look it up and try to do that yourself if you have a mind to. I most certainly did. To tell them that I love King Soopers. I shop there. I like eating like most people. But I do not want my King Soopers being the state's henchmen in putting out propaganda that I know for a fact is untrue. We already know that sunshine and vitamin D actually kills the virus. That's why the numbers are going down, and the fatality rate is exceptionally low, but the Democrat propagandists don't want us to know that. None of this is accurate. And they've been terrorizing and terrifying people who are doing as they're told, because that's what happens when you're scared. You give up your freedom. So I said, you know, I know you're trying to cater to the people who are terrified, and you think that you're doing a great job there. Number one, thank you for not forcing us to. But number two, stop piping in government propaganda in a private grocery store, in a private company. If I want you to do your job, which is to supply goods and groceries to the public. Don't even take my word for it. Don't be political at all. Stop putting out propaganda. We're not children. I don't want to be treated like a five-year-old by my grocery store or by anything else. That's one of the reasons I don't like my car. My car treats me like a five-year-old. I know. It's hilarious. Oh, and by the way, when I gave a hard time to the store that kicked me out or said, you have to leave because we're not going to serve you without a mask. You have to put a mask on or we will not sell you anything. As I was leaving, and I did kick up a bit of a fuss, I didn't throw anything. I wasn't violent. But as you can tell, I can be feisty verbally. I didn't call names. I don't do that. But I was trying to say that this was discriminatory. As I was leaving, the guy said, and I loved this, to his friend. He was an assistant who just said, I'm only doing my job. Don't you love that? Let's see, where have I heard that before? I'm only doing my job. Yeah, that was told in other dictatorships that were just getting started. And I've taken heat for that too, by the way, since I last spoke to you, I believe, because you can't refer to the Holocaust without demeaning the lives of 6 million Jews who died. Not only am I Jewish and would never, ever, ever do that, but the early signs of tyranny were there. By making Jews wear yellow stars by the government. Does that mean I'm saying that I'm expecting genocide in this country? Heck no, I surely hope not. I pray not. That's not it. Tyranny leads to all kinds of bad things, and a lot of Jews were probably saying, well, it's only a little yellow star, and I'm proud to be Jewish, so it'll be all right. You know, and that's what people are doing now. It's only a mask. I mean, it's okay. You know, it's probably a good idea, and I don't want to make waves. So, you know, go ahead. Let's not argue about it. Just do as you're told and get your groceries. No, that is how tyranny is allowed to get worse. And that's how tyranny, as I'm looking at this picture in the elevator, there are little footprints of having people face the corners in an elevator, that you must face the corner. It's like, go stand in the corner, little five-year-old. This is nonsense. Not only is it insulting, but it is stupid. So just to finish the story, because I do already always come back to what I was saying, the story is that as I was leaving, the person who said, I'm only doing my job and you have to leave, said to his friend, what a child she is. I just love that. So I'm a child by fighting back. If I were to do as I was told, like a child, and be obedient, like an obedient child, I would be grown up, right? If I'm treated like a child, I'm acting like a child. You know, this is what is happening. Everything is upside down. Criminals are being saved from the coronavirus by being released from prison, and now they've got room for all the people who want to work for a living, pay their employees, and work. Those people are being threatened with jail. Now, you'd think that was a Tom Clancy movie, but we all know that that's actually happening in this country. So if that's happening, something that my dear father always told me could never happen in America, that socialism and communism could never happen in America. In fact, he always said to me, you don't realize how lucky you are to live in this country. And I never forgot that. I also remember when he said, and he wasn't nearly as politically active as I am. I mean, he wouldn't believe. I wish every day that he were here so that he could participate in this show and some of the things that I do. He told me, the government which governs least governs best. And I heard that for the first time, and I said, you know, that makes a lot of sense. And so don't think that the things that you tell your children aren't effective, aren't, you know, that don't stay with them decades and decades later. That's why our leftist, communist, socialist ideologues and the useful idiots that follow them have been after our children for such a long time, because, you know, if you get a child young and you indoctrinate them about how evil America is and how evil capitalism is, then when they're 20 and 25 and 30 and 35 and older, when they're told to stand in a corner of an elevator, they do it. That's what they do. The other thing that happened yesterday, as if that weren't all enough, is that I interviewed Alan Dershowitz on the radio yesterday. I had the pleasure of filling in for the last 2 days on the Main Street Radio Network, The Alan Nathan Show. And I am loving every minute of that because The Alan Nathan Show reaches a pretty big audience. And in one show, 1 2-hour show, I interviewed not only Trevor Loudon, but Alan Dershowitz, and right after that, Victor Davis Hanson. Too bad that the interview with Victor Davis Hanson was a little short because I kept losing my connection. Technically, isn't that always the way it is? But the Dershowitz interview was fascinating for a host of reasons. I had spent 2 years, you know, I don't know when it was that I finally got his business card and he answered the phone, his cell phone, and I was waiting to get a good opportunity to have him on the radio. And I give him credit that he answers his phone and he will take most comers and all of that. This happened to be for something that I was ready to go to bat about. I was ready to argue with him about. And that is that he made news right that very day. A dear friend of mine sent me a story that Alan Dershowitz said that the state has a right to plunge a needle into your arm if they want to in order to save lives. Well, as you can imagine, I was just a little gobsmacked by that. Even if it is for your own good, I wonder, you know, where the line is, and can they plunge a needle in your arm, as Chuck Bonnewell told me, and I didn't get a chance to ask Alan Dershowitz this, can they plunge a needle in your arm that's euthanasia and tell you it's for your own good too, you know? After all, Zyklon B and all of that. Well, so the question that I asked Alan Dershowitz was simply, what makes you trust the government? They've lied. They've been wrong. They've been incompetent and corrupt for the longest time. This is the government you stood against when they tried to falsely impeach a president. What makes you think they're telling you the truth this time? Well, he got pretty angry. I got angry too, and we were interrupting each other, and that was probably not good. But he said he trusts Dr. Fauci. He trusts Dr. Fauci. You know, that's all I can go to say there, because I got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about A.G. Barr and his vow to go after states that are overstepping their bounds, just exactly what I want to talk about, but with an esteemed guest, John O'Connor, an attorney who was the attorney for Deep Throat. Karen Cataline on Spouting Off. Stay tuned for John O'Connor. We'll be right back right after this. This is Karen Cataline. Are you unsure if your current Medicare plan is still the best one for you? The annual enrollment period is right around the corner. This is the best time of year to review your plan and learn what's new. Anita McAllister is a licensed agent who will guide you through the confusing Medicare maze. Since 2011, she has helped many individuals and couples obtain Medicare peace of mind. Call her today at 970-515-6882 to set up a no-obligation, no-cost appointment. That's 970-515-6882 for Anita McAllister.
Listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Well, welcome back to Spouting Off. our one and only guest for this edition of Spouting Off is John O'Connor, the author of Postgate, How the Washington Post Betrayed Deep Throat, Covered Up Watergate, and Began Today's Partisan Advocacy Journalism. He served as an assistant U.S. attorney in Northern California, let me get that right, from 1974 to 1979, representing the United States in both criminal and civil cases. Welcome to Spouting Off, John O'Connor.
Well, Karen, good to be with you. I always have fun talking to you.
Oh, thank you. I do, too. And at the break, I was telling you how when I was like 14, I was a Watergate buff. And what we are watching both in the unmasking of corruption in this country and the masking up of everyone else against their will is extraordinary. I mean, Watergate looked like romper room compared to all of this.
Well, that's right. It's child's play, and the real distinction is, and that's why I wrote my book. I didn't write my book for really just for history purposes. It's a wonderful book. It's juicy, intriguing for people who want to know not only about Watergate but all the sort of the sidelights of it. But the reason I really wrote it, as fun as the book is because of today, and so we have something that's much more saturnine, if I can use a big word, much worse than anything that happened in Watergate, and it remains to be seen whether the mainstream media has enough guts. I think I know the answer to pick up on this and say this is a big, big scandal. It is much worse than Watergate. And let me give you some comparisons here, Karen. And I'll get into obstruction. Richard Nixon was driven from office when one of the White House tapes, and of course preceded by all kinds of sensational publicity, one of the White House tapes had him cooking up a phony excuse that the CIA was going to tell the FBI to keep them from investigating the so-called Mexican money trail, mainly to protect one of his donors from being exposed as giving Nixon a bunch of money. The guy was a Democrat. Nixon didn't want it. But he obstructed. He gave a false story that prevented the FBI for a short time from getting information. Any obstruction, as Robert Mueller says in his report, any obstruction, however slight, is obstruction. Any attempt to do it. Now let's fast forward to the present. January 5, 2017, the Obama National Security Team is meeting in his office. Now, this is a serious office called by the president with the top people there. And what are they discussing? In a word, they're discussing the fact that they are not going to give President Trump and his incoming National Security Team information, full information about the Russian collusion investigation. And I think this also includes the call from General Flynn, between General Flynn and Kislyak. Mm-hmm. Now, why is that important, Karen? It is important because in Watergate, the figure that was running the investigation, because it was a law enforcement investigation, was the Attorney General with its agent, the FBI. Mm-hmm. Nixon withheld evidence or tried to withhold evidence from the FBI as the Attorney General's agent. That's obstruction. The Attorney General was heading that investigation. Now, we have a counterintelligence investigation, as Susan Rice's memo recognizes. This is not a law enforcement or criminal investigation. It is a counterintelligence one. What does that mean? That means that literally the head of the investigation, who you have to give full information to, and you cannot obstruct, is the president and his national security team, including, guess what? The head of the National Security Team is Michael Flynn. So if there are two people that you must give everything to, tell everything to, and not withhold evidence from, it's President Trump and Michael Flynn. And what do they do? On the 5th, they're discussing the fact that Comey's not going to, is probably or potentially going to withhold information. And guess what? And they're talking about national security. The memo distinguishes, makes the distinction I'm giving you. It's right in the memo, the difference between law enforcement and intelligence. They know there's a difference between the two, and they talk about the two. They're going to give all the law enforcement information to Trump, but the intelligence, they're going to Comey's going to withhold. Now, guess what happens? Come January 20th, They should have been told everything during the transition period, but that's a matter of discretion. If Obama mm-hmm. wants to be a jerk and not give it to him, he can do it. But mm-hmm. once January 20th comes, and Comey is still a holdover, Sally Yates is the other holdover in Justice Department, you've got to give up that information. Tell the White House about the Flynn-Kislyak call. Tell them what you're going to do. Tell them you're going to question Flynn. Tell them. Tell them about the Russian collusion investigation, what you've done, how you've gotten the warrant. None of that was told to Trump or Flynn. And as a matter of fact, Comey sent his buddy Andrew McCabe with another guy over to ambush Flynn. We know all about that. He did everything unethically there. But now what I'm getting into is an illegality, because he is obstructing. If you go over, if you are concealing information from Flynn while you're questioning him, you're doing more than being unethical, as everyone said. We know it's unethical for about mm-hmm. 10 reasons. But mm-hmm. It's illegal. And Comey knew it. This thing had been under discussion for at least 20 days. Mm-hmm. He knew it. If nothing else, that meeting solidified the fact that you have to give up that information. Comey has no right. He can claim a higher loyalty, but guess what? The Constitution says that he's got to give it up. The Constitution makes Trump, as commander-in-chief, the head of this whole thing, and Comey's got no business withholding that information. So what we have here, Karen, if anybody chooses to go after it, it is dead-bang, clear, set-in-stone obstruction. Sally Yates, if you look at the papers that Barr filed to overturn or to withdraw Flynn's guilty plea, he talks about how Sally Yates had advised that you had to tell, that Comey had to tell the White House the call, that he mm-hmm. they had to give him a heads up.
Well, instead, he was telling the opposite to Trump. You're not under investigation. Everything's fine. Right?
Right. Right.
That's what
and
he was telling
not
Trump.
Telling Flynn, and they're giving Flynn the impression.
Yep.
My main thing is, not only are they giving Flynn the impression that, oh, we're just kicking our feet up, we're having a good old boys conversation, but they're mm-hmm. not telling him stuff. That's concealment. Yeah. And concealment under the federal laws is a form of fraud, as if it's a kind of lie. It's a lie.
It's not just a kind of a lie. It's a lie.
It's a lie. And it certainly is an obstruction. And as Barr, even Barr, with his very conservative and strict construction of the obstruction statutes, he's on record as saying anything that prevents the availability of evidence or impedes its quality is obstruction. Now, in this case, they didn't make available to Flynn and Trump this information. The mm-hmm. investigation was there starting January 20 at noon.
Right.
Comey knew it. He's a smart guy. Sally Yates knew it and had told him. So uh-huh. she calls him up. She finally gets a hold of Comey that day, and Comey, she says, "Well, you're not gonna go question Flynn without giving him all these warnings and telling him about the call. You're gonna do that, right?" Comey says, "Well, gee, it's too late, Sally. I've already sent McCabe over there." She was flabbergasted, dumbfounded. She's on record as that, and the reason she is because she knows a crime was being committed.
Of course, she knows.
Let's take a
you gave me the perfect segue, really. We're talking to John O'Connor, esteemed attorney and attorney for Deep Throat, and we're not talking the X-rated movie here. I want to shift the conversation a little bit to AG Barr, Attorney General Barr, because there's one thing that I really want to ask you about. And then after the break, we're going to talk about something that he is doing that I'm excited and thrilled about, which is that he wants to go after states who exceed their authority and suppress their citizens. So what he's doing now, though, I wonder, is it true? What do you think? And that was that he said quite recently that he's not going to charge Obama or call him or indict him. And I think he may have said, if I'm not mistaken, Clinton, too. I think a lot of people on the conservative side were crestfallen when they heard that, because if you do not hold people accountable, then that stands as some people are above the law, which clearly they were acting as if they were. What do you think's going on there?
Well, first of all, and I don't have the words right in front of me, but there was a little qualification on there. He really was saying he's not just his inclination is not just to go smear Obama and Biden. And he was really saying at this point, I don't have anything yet. I don't think he's saying that if he got evidence of their crimes that he would not prosecute it. So I think, although I was crestfallen when I saw that, after reading the statement, it's much more measured. He's a very measured guy. And what he's saying is the general principle is I'm not going to go out and try to politicize that. Like, I'm not going to just do a turnabout like they would do. I'm going to do this the right way. And I think he will. But even as to the stuff that I'm talking about, this both the Russian collusion investigation and then this specific obstruction regarding Flynn, there are all kinds of ways I see as a lawyer that Obama and Biden can wiggle out of it. Well, of course, Biden can wiggle out on the notion of competence.
Which is a little tough since he's running for president. I'm incompetent here, but I'm really incompetent there, right?
Exactly, and he is. And he's just plain daffy, and I really couldn't convict him as a juror of knowing anything. But even Obama can say, look, you know, I didn't like this. I didn't like what Comey was saying, but hey, it's up to him what he's going to do after January 20th. He has a way out of this, but nonetheless, there still should be some inquiry or investigation, and that's what I've written. But I don't think, and I really think that probably even as to the FISA warrant, even though Obama was kept advised, I don't think his underlings were saying, by the way, Mr. President, we've really rigged this thing with Western intelligence plants, and we've just fomented a bunch of nonsense. I don't think they let him know that, and I don't think he was deep into it like Brennan, Comey, Clapper, and McCabe were.
We have only about a minute left, and that's the first thing you've said that I'd probably take issue with, but it's pure conjecture on my part, which is that everything we've seen of the previous president suggests that he was more a president against the United States than for it. Everything he's done, including sending boatloads of cash to Iran, a country that has vowed to destroy us and the state of Israel. I think his motives were as suspect as it's possible. But can you hold on a minute? Because I got to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about that thing about what we really hope General Barr would do. And I bet John O'Connor has some great information there. So stay tuned. Karen Cataline, and you're listening to Spouting Off. This is Karen Cataline, host and producer of Spouting Off. Got an opinion, a guest suggestion, or a show tip? Follow me on Facebook or Twitter and let me know your thoughts. All you need is to know how to spell my name. It's the same on Twitter, Facebook, and www.karencataline.com. Karen is spelled the normal way, no goofy Y's or Q's, K-A-R-E-N. And Cataline is spelled K-A-T-A-L-I-N-E. Want more Spouting Off? You can find the complete archive of Spouting Off shows at www.karencataline.com. All my op-eds and blog posts are there too. That's www.karencataline.com. Thanks for listening. And if you have a moment, please spread the word about Spouting Off. And welcome back to Spouting Off. What a fascinating guest. We're talking to John O'Connor, who is author of Postgate, how the Washington Post betrayed Deep Throat, covered up Watergate, and began today's partisan advocacy journalism. Sometimes off the air, even more fun conversations than on the air. And I don't want this to get us off the track because I'm dying to know about General Barr and what you know about that, John. But I wanted to just tell you, we were talking about how you were a young baby prosecutor and you wanted to know who Deep Throat was instead of like picking up ladies. I was like 16 or 17 doing theater, and I was putting on my makeup, and everybody else was either reading Variety or whatever they were doing, listening to music, and I was listening to the Watergate hearings while I was putting on my makeup. So obviously
they were wonderful.
They were fascinating. Let's shift gears a little bit, because man, oh man, you're perfect to talk about this with. In the state of Colorado, and I gather you're in California still, right?
Right.
Okay. So we're in states that are governed and run and monopoly of leftist power, and there is a clear pattern of how Democrats are handling this coronavirus, which is not fatal to 99.8% of the public, and yet they're acting like it's the bubonic plague, but they surely are using it as an excuse to take away all of our most precious freedoms. So when General Barr said he's ready to go after states who exceed their authority and suppress our citizens, and it is rampantly frightening out there, tell us what you think General Barr's doing. How can we help him, and how can we defy this runaway government divorced from the Constitution? How about that for a broad general statement?
Well, it's a very important one, and it's everything, because the world's greatest economy is going down the tank, as well as the mental health of a lot of people, and this small thing called the pursuit of happiness, which is also. Under the Federalist Papers, the pursuit of your livelihood and your property, that is being taken away from us, and this is not a minor matter. You've got a Fifth Amendment, and then it applies to the states, the 14th Amendment. You cannot take away people's property without just compensation. Now, if it's a police power, if there's something going on, if the Germans are attacking and somebody comes around with a monitor's sash on him and says, you got to get inside. Okay, we all got to get inside. All right. There are minor and temporary measures that they can take without compensating you. But when you get into this, and as you point out, with absolutely no justification, it's actually anti-scientific to have all of us be sheltering. It's stupid. It's not good for us. We want young people to be out at bars and get herd immunity. They're not going to die.
Well, that I don't want to go too far backward, but I just ranted about we're hearing in grocery stores on loudspeakers like propaganda that you're safer at home in my grocery store when it's already been proven that vitamin D and sunshine kills the virus, and yet they don't want to hear that. They want to keep people at home so they can keep control of them and track them.
Well, that's right. And guess what? Every day, Andrew Cuomo's on the air and other people are on the air, and they're just so cool and so powerful, and that's what they live for. And remember this, if you are trying to implant a more socialist light, I call it, progressive is socialism light.
I don't know if it's very light anymore.
It's not so light. They want it heavier and heavier, because every time they impose something, it's always not enough, because we're not good enough socialists. We've got to be more generous and so forth. And it'll work if we just become more socialistic. Well, guess what? Look at Cuba, and everybody gets the same number of beans and the same 54 Fords to drive around.
Look at Venezuela.
Venezuela. Yeah, exactly. We can all
shift starve. About General Barr. What do you think he can do? What do you think he is going to do? How can we help him?
Well, we can help him by raising our voices and letting the politicians know that we care. General Barr does have some power. He is really sort of jawboning the states by threatening, and he's hoping they'll get the message. Because his real weapon here is he's got a weapon, but it's limited. What he can do is bring injunction actions against the state, the state's governors and attorneys general, in federal court for depriving people of their civil rights.
That's
and
important.
He can get an
That's
injunction.
Huge.
And yeah. I hope he does that, because like I say, here are the constitutional basis. I've given you the 5th and 14th Amendment, taking property
yeah.
without, number one,
yes.
without due process, and just
right.
taking property, period. Okay. Those are two things right there, a little separate, due process plus taking property. First Amendment. What about the right to redress the grievances?
Yes.
Okay. We're not being allowed to do that. We're not allowed
no.
to peaceably assemble. That's
no.
the First Amendment right. We're not
exactly.
allowed to exercise freely our religion.
Oh,
that's
the religious piece,
Amendment.
Is it going to be one of the biggest fights ever? I already know. In fact, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I've got to do this. I wrote a note, and I got to ask you, since you mentioned it, I know of several attorneys and coalitions of attorneys who are getting together not only to represent churches, but also businesses. And they're combining their efforts across the country with different states. I know you're probably a retired attorney, but are you somebody that some of the attorneys that I know can call and possibly sign on to this to support either businesses or churches who are having their rights taken away?
Yes, in this sense,
yes.
where I am, and
yes.
I still practice, but I do an awful
Wonderful.
Lot of work regarding attorney's fees. And in this case, the real weapon that plaintiff's lawyers have is if you're depriving somebody of their civil rights, you may not, in some cases, be able to get a lot of money. How do you monetize not being able to go to church? You can get it. But the lawyers can get attorney's fees if they use the right statutes. And I often appear as an expert witness or a litigator on attorney's fees to get lawyers in these cases their attorney's fees. So I stand ready to
right.
help
well,
any of these
great.
Lawyers that are out there. I would be an adjunct
yeah.
for what they're doing to help them get paid for their work and incentivize them.
Beautiful. And you're
so
making news right now, because in the state of Colorado, I happen to know a talk show host who is an attorney. And his name is Randy Corcoran. I'm going to have him call you, if that's okay.
Sure.
Because... there's money being raised in Colorado as much as we can in order to support these attorneys. And anybody within the sound of my voice, I want to encourage, because you're, you know, obviously licensed to practice in California, and then there are Colorado attorneys. There's consortiums. I know Mark Garagos is also representing businesses. And, of course, that's all we've got. And, you know, the wheels of justice turn slowly. But that is a beautiful thing, as constitutional attorneys can band together, and we're raising money to help them. Unfortunately, I got to run, so I
yep.
want everybody to know how to get your book and how we can support you, because you are a treasure and a wealth of great information.
Well, I'd love people to get, like I say, my fun book, Postgate. If you go to postgatebook.com, it's got all the reviews and a lot of things I've written in there, or to Amazon.com. So postgatebook.com, amazonbook.com. I'd love you to get Postgate, because it really is a roadmap for this partisan, deceitful press we have on a national level
it's
here.
It's just terrible.
And we all got to fight. So Karen,
yes.
thanks so much for talking to me. I love talking
oh.
to you, because you're asking the right questions is what
thank
I like
you.
About you and your show.
Well,
so thank you.
Thank you so much. I'll have you on some of the other shows that I do too. John
Please.
O'Connor, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it. That's just about all the time we have for this edition of Spouting Off. Please visit me at my website, www.karencataline.com, Facebook and Twitter and all that rot. Thank you to Doug, my producer, and to BBS Radio. And also thank you to K-Star Radio Network that will rebroadcast this show. Please thank them for their support, and thank you for your support. Thanks also to HW, the multi-talented guy with an IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. And tune in next week when I'll be here. And there will be way, way, way a lot more to spout off about here on Spouting Off.